he's not just a baby anymore, but he's our risen Savior, that he's victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and that he's leading us as a triumphant champion into absolute victory. And because of what he did, we are able to have faith in him. And this is the victory that overcomes the whole world, even our faith in our Christ. Father, we believe in you. We believe and we rest in your goodness. And we celebrate you this morning. We thank you for what you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. And Father, I ask of you that you make my words, words of life. That you take this simple message and you fill it up with life and love and joy. That you enrich our hearts this Christmas so that we can not only celebrate today, but start off a brand new year in a brand new way. We love you, Lord, and I'll be quick to give you all the praise and all the glory, for you and you alone are worthy. And you alone deserve all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to 2-3 people. Tell them Merry Christmas. Amen. And you can be seated. I tell you what, we are certainly thankful to have everyone come out today for Christmas. You know, I was reading the other day in 2 Corinthians, and Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. And he was basically giving his qualifications as to why he should be able to speak into their life. And he made a statement to them, and that kind of took me back. I'd read it many times, but just under the light of this season, it kind of struck me. He said, "It seems as if the more I love you, the less you love me." And when I read that, I couldn't help but think that in my life right now, nothing is farther from the truth. The more I love this place and the more I love this church, it just seems as if the more you guys love the church and love me and love my family. And I just, I'm so grateful today for the gift that God has given me and my wife and the church staff and giving us you. It's an honor to be here with you this morning. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Luke chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, we can help you out with that. You can lift up your hands now, and our ushers will be in the aisles right now to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. That one is yours to keep. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. See, you got a gift this morning if you're getting a Bible. Luke chapter 2. Obviously, this is the great Christmas passage here. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar that the whole world should be taxed." Verse 3. "And all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." Verse 5, "to be taxed with his wife Mary, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior which is Christ the Lord. Let's look at that last verse again, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We celebrate Christmas today, and obviously what we're celebrating is written about here in Luke chapter 2. God so loving the world, loving you, loving me, that he sent his only begotten Son Jesus to this earth to be born as a man and to later die on a cross and rise again from the grave. That's what we celebrate. And it's funny, as you read Luke chapter 2, it seems to me as if this moment in time, which we all remember, which we should all cherish, is so simple. Here you have two teenagers. I don't think a lot of people realize this, but Joseph and Mary were teenagers. Here you have two teenagers going to their hometown to be taxed. And on the way, Mary, she's great with child. Now, it's one thing to travel in a car when you're great with child. It's another thing to do it by donkey or to do it by whatever form of transportation they had back then. So, you know, the journey, I'm sure, was very interesting. And they get to their own hometown and they try to check into an inn or basically a modern day hotel of what we would call it today. But there's no vacancy. There's no room for them in the inn. And so theologians tell us that they actually went into a cave-like structure that was built to keep sheep and things like that warm. And they have the child there. You know, it had to have been amazing, but it was very simple. There wasn't family there. There wasn't a great crowd of people welcoming the Savior. They have this child in such a simple way, in such a simple setting. And with this, you know, there's great joy. And an angel appears, not unto a governor of a city, not unto Caesar or president, not unto the masses. God could have stretched open the heavens and told all of Bethlehem, just poked his face down and said boo and got everyone's attention and let them know, hey, the Savior of the world, he's been born. But he didn't do that. He went to some shepherds, sent an angel out into a field and told some shepherds that unto you a Savior has been born. These shepherds, if you continue reading the story, they went over to that cave and celebrated with great joy this amazing experience that was just so simple. I can't help but to think how commercial we've made this Christmas. How commercial society has made it, that something that started so simple is now so complex. That entire businesses would base their business model off of Christmas and making enough profit in that season to carry through the other lean seasons. That some way or another we've transformed this simple type experience into something so elaborate and Santa Clauses and Christmas trees and all of these types of things. And this morning, I'm not preaching against any of those things. I think traditions are good and all families should have them. But I often wonder how many Christmases have the kind of joy that they had on this first simple Christmas. I have to wonder that this first simple Christmas was so filled with joy and love that when people were there, they went away talking about the memories that they saw and the greatness of that moment. Our society today, it almost seems as if this culture that we live in has been so love-starved for so long that even something that should be based off of love has just been something that's been transformed over into gifting because someone else gave us a gift. How many people, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm sure you know of some people that during Christmas, their thought process went something like this. Okay, I wonder how much they spent on me. And so I need to make sure that I at least get them something that is of equal value of what I think they may give me. And then how many people this morning do you think open up their gift and realize they didn't spend near as much money on me as I did them? And that's almost what, if we're not careful, society has done to Christmas. Why do we exchange gifts on Christmas? Why is it something? I mean, this morning my kids opened up Christmas gifts. Why do we do that? I think it's because it should be symbolic of the real gift that was given on Christmas. And the gift that was given on Christmas was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that gift was done out of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I want to encourage you this Christmas morning. I don't know if you've exchanged gifts or not, but I guess the lesson goes beyond even Christmas. Is that during this season, the reason why we should be giving gifts to people is because we love them. Like I said, I think this generation that we live in has been so love-starved. People are so foreign to it that they don't even know how to give that way. I was thinking about this past week, and I was wondering, what was the best Christmas gift I ever got? In fact, I asked my wife that question. What was the best Christmas gift you ever received? I'm thinking many of you may have thought that way as well. What was the best Christmas gift you've ever received? And immediately my mind went back to when I was a little kid. I can remember my father giving me my very first Nintendo. Not DS, not a Cube, the very first Nintendo. And I can remember getting that game Rampage. And I don't know if you remember it, but it was when I think it had like Donkey Kong and Godzilla, and they could climb the buildings and punch the buildings to make the buildings fall down. I remember getting that gift, and that was the first thing that popped into my mind. But this morning I was thinking about it even further when I saw my children opening up all of their gifts. And I remember this morning looking over and seeing my books there. And there was a book that my father gave me years ago when I was a teenager. And it was a devotional by John G. Lake. And I can remember opening up that gift with all my other ones. And, you know, as a teenager, you're not necessarily pumped up about a book. If you are, that's awesome. But I don't remember spending too much time meditating on that book that Christmas morning. But yet, it's the one book or the one gift that I still have to this day. From all of my Christmases, I began thinking about it. What do I still have in my life today that I got Christmases long ago? I couldn't think of anything but that book. Out of all the things that lasted, it was the book. And you know why? It wasn't that the book is so amazing. It's not the best book in the world. It was a little daily devotional by John G. Lake. And it was just simple excerpts each day that you could read. And it's not that I go back to those excerpts. It's not that I can't remember the last time I just opened up the pages and read the book. I honestly cannot remember the last time I did that. But the reason why I still have the book is not because I like the book so much. It was what my father wrote in the book. And he wrote a little note, nothing elaborate, just a little note. I said, "Son, I believe John G. Lake was one of God's choice servants. I believe you are too. Love, Dad." So simple. And my father was not one who was very lovey-dovey. He was not one who was just had an amazing ability to express how he felt in the area of love. But for him, that was a huge expression of his love for me. And of all the things that have stayed with me throughout the years, of all the things and gifts that I received at Christmas, that's the one that stayed with me. When I think about some of the best gifts I've ever gotten, immediately one of the first things that stands out to me was when I was preaching over in Africa. We have we help with a work out there in Bungoma, Kenya. And I went up there for about a week just to preach. And as I was leaving, one of the young ministers who was in Bible school came up to me and just began pouring out his heart on how much he enjoyed the ministry that was given that week. And he said he wanted to give me a little gift. And he handed me a box that was not wrapped well. I mean, it looked like I'd wrapped it. It was not the Macy's wrapping or, you know, Belk. It wasn't professionally done. It was just something put over a box and no elaborate Christmas paper. Just regular paper, sheet paper. But he had wrapped it, done his best. And I opened it up and it was a cell phone. He'd wrapped up his cell phone. Now over there, that's priceless. Over there, that had to have been the most valuable thing he had in his possession, was his phone. And I could never use it. I mean, I don't know how that all works, but the technology and how it sinks back over. It wasn't a gift that I could ever use. I've never made a call from it. I've never sent a text from it. But I still have it. Not because the gift was incredibly useful, but the love that was behind the gift. I think it's very interesting in the New Testament that Jesus does talk about the people that gave him gifts. It starts off with his birth, with the Magi, the wise men who came and presented gifts unto him even as a child. It highlights Mary opening up her spikenard upon the head and feet of Jesus and giving him that gift that was an entire year's salary. If you study out those stories, and we don't have the time to do it this morning, but if you study them out, you see that these were gifts that will forever be mentioned in time. That the Bible is years and years old, but we're still talking about those gifts even today. And the gifts were, in many cases, elaborate. What they gave Jesus, many theologians say, had so much wealth attached to it that it was able to sustain Jesus and Mary and Joseph for the next couple of years when they were running from Herod. That the value of those gifts was very expensive. We know that the spikenard that Mary poured out upon Jesus was an entire year's worth of salary. Huge gifts, but I don't think that's why the Bible makes mentions of them. Why it talks about them. I think it's because when the Magi gave those gifts, they traveled miles and miles to do it. When Mary gave that spikenard, it was done out of such love. And he wanted those gifts to be remembered. I guarantee you throughout your life you cannot remember all the gifts that you've gotten. But you can remember the love you had during those holidays. It's something about love. Love creates such joy. See, a gift, it can make you happy, but happiness comes and goes. A gift can make a child happy, but happiness comes and goes. But joy is something that lasts. Joy is something that is eternal. The world didn't give it to us. It didn't come from this world, so the world can't take it away. The joy that Christ gives us can only be found through love. And when love touches you in some way, it creates an abiding, everlasting joy. that even on your worst day, when everything looked bleak, you could think of that memory. Think of that time when that loved one gave you that gift. Think about that note that your loved one left you. Go open and grab that devotional and read the words that your father wrote to you. And even in your worst day, when your mind goes back to that memory, joy springs up. Joy enraptures your soul because love touched you. I think all of us, we crave that type of life. I think even why we want things for Christmas is because we think they may make us happy. But happiness comes and goes, friend. But love, it provides an eternal joy. I said all of that to say this. This is point one of my 2-point message. How can you show love to the people you're around today? How can you express love towards them? I keep a journal, and in my journal I've got a note that my niece wrote me about a year ago, talking about how much she appreciates me. I keep it, and I like to read it. And I don't know if she would think that I would even throw something like that away, but I have it. And it means something to me because love was expressed. Maybe you can write a note today. I've got other gifts that people have given me. They come and go, but a gift given in love, it stays with you. What can you give to your loved ones today? Maybe it is wherever you are all there. When I think about my favorite Christmas growing up as a child, I think back to the time where we were sitting in the living room and we were all bored and didn't have too much to do. And my father said, let's go outside. And before I knew it, he grabbed our gingerbread house that we had made. It was a huge gingerbread house. Then he went to the bathroom. I thought, this is weird. And he got a can of hairspray. Then he went to the fireplace and got a lighter. And I thought, this is going to get interesting. And we went out to the driveway there, and he doused that gingerbread house with hairspray. And then he took it and made it into a blowtorch. Kids, do not try this at home. Do not try this for Christmas. This was done under adult supervision. And even then, I'm not sure it's a good idea. But I was recording it, and he was lighting this thing on fire. I mean, just as a blowtorch. And he was saying, this is what happens to people who do not tithe. And I can remember, I really did try to find the video to show it this morning. I know I have it, but it's in some box, and I've got to find it. But it created a memory. We laugh like you're laughing now. We shared a moment like we're sharing now. It was something that stayed with me. I don't remember what I got that Christmas. I honestly don't remember what gifts I got. But I remember having fun with my father. What can you give your kids today beyond a present that would let them know that you love them, that you enjoy being around them? Maybe you can give a relative forgiveness today. Wednesday night we talked about that one of the things that's most beautiful in the Lord's eyes is when you forgive someone. It's not always easy. It's not always pleasant. You know, people, relationships can be messy. But can you give someone the gift of forgiveness today? It'd be a gift that not only you gave to them, but it could be a gift that you give to the Lord. It's beautiful in His eyes. There's so many different things that I'm sure we all could do, and so many different things that we all could give. But I want to encourage you, give love in some way today. Let people know that you love them. Maybe you're not the most verbal individual. Can you write a note? Like I said, my devotional, all it was a little message, and I love you, Dad. It wasn't anything long-winded. Something simple, but it was given in love, and it's enriched my life and made it better. What can you give to someone like that? How can you express love today? That's my first point. My second point is this, and I'll keep this brief. Is this Christmas, it's like I said, society takes this moment and turns our focus on all these different things. Santa Claus and presents and all of these different things that we can forget that what Christmas is all about is Christ. And I was thinking about this, how complex society has made something so amazingly simple. And it all serves as nothing but a distraction. A distraction from what the real point of it all is. And I was thinking about that, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought about Christianity as a whole. You know, Paul wrote something very interesting to the church at Corinth. He said, I'm afraid right now that the great serpent in the Garden of Eden, just as he deceived Eve, will deceive your heart from the simplicity that is found in Christ. There is a simplicity that is in Christ. And the message of Christmas is that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. And the greatest gift we can give this Christmas is to give ourselves over to him in its greatest simplicity. You know, you come to a word church, we're going to teach you out of the word, which means there's no shortage of things we could exhort you to do, and all of them, I'm sure, are good things. But there is one thing that you and I are to do. And it's found here in the book of Luke. Let's look at it here. Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. Let's start in verse 25, and it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'What is it written in the law? How readest thou?'" Meaning, how do you see it? And in verse 27, this man spoke up, and he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you're to love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Obviously, he wasn't talking about if you don't do this, you're going to die right now. He was saying, if you do this, you're going to really live. You're going to see what life is really all about. And friend, I'm telling you what, this year something has changed in me. I mean, something has changed in me. And I'll say this in closing. I always, even growing up, had a high personal ambition. I always just, you know, you grow up in a good church and you know God wants you to be a champion. And I always grew up with a high level of personal ambition. And I suppose in one way that's a good thing. But I can remember even when I was pastoring the church years ago, my mind went like this. If I could just get over to turning this church around. At that time, we were losing members. Attendance was dropping. Tithes and offerings were dropping. And my mind went, if I could just turn this around, I can be a success. And then sure enough, it got turned around. God came in and some good people stepped up and it turned around and we started growing again. And then it was just, oh, if I could just get to 1,000 people. 1,000 people. I can remember John Maxwell saying that one of his goals was to help as many pastors get to 1,000 people. Because once you got to 1,000 people, then, you know, you were able to be a certain size church where you could make a difference in the community. And I just thought, oh, if I could just get to 1,000. And I never will forget the Sunday when we broke 1,000. I brought a cake up to the staff and we blew out the candles. And then the next day it was like, okay, what's next? So then, oh, we got to build a new church building. And well, actually, before that, it was 2 services. Then it was, let's go to 3 services. Then let's build a new building. And I can remember opening up the building. And when we opened up, we were at 3 services. I think we had 2,700 people here. And it was far and above anything that I ever imagined. And I can remember thinking about that a couple of weeks later, and instantly my flesh started thinking, okay, what's next? What's... And something changed in me. It changed in me. You see the trap of viewing success as a destination. And I've always heard that taught that success doesn't need to be a destination. It needs to be a journey. You've got to learn how to enjoy your everyday life. And I saw just a peace came over me that if it be of the Lord, nothing can stop it. And my life, it always was, but now even more so. It's centered on, I want to do the Lord's will. Period. I don't care about a certain number. I don't care about trying to get on a list of the fastest growing churches in America or the top churches. I used to. I'm not going to lie. I used to. But I don't care anymore. Okay, you got there. What's next? What's next after that? What's next after that? My success is, did I do the will of the Lord? Did I please Him today? Did I please the Lord today? And friend, I kid you not, that it was just a small adjustment. I've always had those beliefs, but now I major on it. That my meat is to please the one who sent me here. That's my satisfaction. I kid you not when I say all the other things that I thought I would desire are popping up in my life. It's bringing Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 into a whole new perspective to me. That if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these other things will be added to you. That word added means to be laid beside. No effort, no labor, just laid beside. God wants to bless you. He does. You can read John chapter 16, verses 22 through 24 for homework. Yes, homework on Christmas. You can read that. It'll be a blessing to you. And one of the things He says in there is He's talking about asking of the Father in prayer to bless you and help you. And He says, ask so that your joy may be full. And you see, God wants to bless you. He wants to give you amazing things in this life because He cares about your joy. My kids had presents under the tree this morning because I cared about their joy. We had to wake up our kids early. Because we needed to get everything ready before coming to church. And so we were trying to get our little boy out of the bed. And he didn't want to wake up. And then we told him, it's Christmas. You got to come open your presents. He threw the covers off of him, shot up. I mean, it finally dawned. The moment is here. His joy was full. And you know what?
I got blessed out of that. It blessed me to see his joy full. Why? I'm his father. And friend, God's the same way. He wants your joy full. But all of God's greatest gifts, you know what they're born out of? They're born out of love. That when you draw near to him, when you make a decision to love him, when you make a decision to not just have religion, but to have a relationship with him, that you see all of these other things are just added to you. Amen. There was a song, I was listening to a preacher on the way to church, and he was saying this, that song, O Holy Night, and a lot of the Christmas songs that we sing were written by unbelievers. And he said, isn't it interesting that people can know the story of Christmas, but not know the person behind it? And I thought, how true is that even in Christianity? That people know about Christ, they know about all of these things, but never really enjoy the relationship with the Master, with the Savior. I encourage you this Christmas to give gifts of love to your family. Give gifts of love to your relatives. Those are the things that provide true joy. All other gifts can make people happy, but it's temporal. Joy is eternal. Give those gifts to the people in your life. But also give another gift today. Give the gift of yourself over to the Lord. Tell him that my meat is to do your will. I want to live for you. I want to please you today. And then wake up the next day and say the same thing. I want to please you today. Let my life please you today. I give you the gift of me. And Jesus says that when you make a decision to live that life, that's when you truly live. I'm at peace today. My soul is at peace. I've got vision that the Lord has instructed me to look upon, but I'm not trying to make it happen. I'm letting him at it. I'm at peace. I'm a peaceful man. And it's because of this. My meat is to please him. Give Christ that gift today. Give him that gift, and I promise you, you'll see Christmas and life in a whole new light. We love you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray before we go. Father, we come before you today. Christmas.